Holy Spirit, we welcome you here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one by which your stand came to be, Lord, and you're the one that sustains us, and you're the one that activates us and sends us. So we pray that this morning you will come and send us into the world to be the answer to every question, to every need, to everything that you want to do, Lord. And thank you for that. Amen. All right, so thank you, band. That was awesome. So we're going to continue on the gifts this morning. And we just started a series about 2 weeks ago about the gifts. And it's going to continue on that. And it's really just a teaching on the gifts. And it's not by all means not conclusive, but I believe it's a good foundation just to get stirred up and encouraged to desire the gifts again, and to desire the different gifts, these manifold gifts, and also to be encouraged that each of us are being used by God in different ways. And like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, all of us at least have one gift to minister to the body of Christ for the building up and the exhortation of the body. And the reality is, if you look at the life of Jesus and the apostles and the Acts account, if you look at them, then the reality is they operated in those things day and night. So I believe that's things we need to desire and aspire to, and trust the Lord for a return of those. It was so good. I was at a conference this week, Empower 21. It's a global movement of Spirit-empowered, charismatic Pentecostal churches. And it was really so encouraging to just hear what God is doing around the world. I posted in the group as well. I don't have it here, but in Africa this year, 2018, is the first year that Africa has got the most Christians in the world. We've got more Christians in Africa now than in South America. So the growth of the charismatic movement is really a big reason for that. They say in the last 100 years, the 70% of Christianity's growth has been attributed to the Azusa Street Revival. So basically, they call it the second Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was poured out. So since then, about 70% of all church growth was either in a Pentecostal charismatic denomination. So the Holy Spirit, I believe, is a key part to growing, or to the church coming to its fullness, and to the church, the world, basically. The Bible says the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And I believe the glory of the Lord, when it speaks of that, it's just the fullness of the Spirit coming upon the church, and church being united, and God just pouring out His Spirit in ways that we'll just reach the world. The movement has this aim that by 2033, that every person in this world would have had an authentic encounter with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. So that's quite an amazing goal that I have. And it's really growing very fast, the movement. Basically, 80% of the world's charismatic churches belong to it now. And it's only about 10 years old. So it's really amazing how God is uniting His church all over the world and doing amazing things. So there's a lot I can share about that, but let's get back to what we can share. Maybe I'll share a few things in between. So let's just recap quickly. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1 to verse 7 to 10, 1 and 7 to 10. Now considering the spiritual gift, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one it's given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the works of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And what's really, you know, we can say a lot about it, Scripture, but the important thing is that it's for the common good. So the reason for the gifts is love, and it's to build up one another. So whenever we desire a gift, it's not, it's like Reinhard Bonnke says, it's not a medal of honor, it's a tool for the job that needs to be done. So obviously in the church there has been a misuse of the gifts, like I shared last time. Often the gifts has been like a title, you know, I am a prophet, or I am the healer, etc. I'm the man of the word of the moment, that type of thing, you know. And then it can even be used to manipulate people and to control people. And the reason I said last time is why God allows it is because the gifts are irrevocable. It's like when somebody gives you a gift, he's not really legitimately allowed to take it back because he's given it to you freely. And that's what a gift is. A gift is something that's freely given without any demand on it back. You know, so God allows his gifts to be used, and sometimes people abuse them for their own gain, etc. So that's important that we look at that. When we want to operate in the gifts, our intentions must be to build up other people, build up the church, build up the kingdom by people experiencing God through the gifts. And obviously we say the gifts as well as a supernatural intervention of God in our here and now. We can sense the expression of the gifts, you know, when somebody gives you a word of prophecy or somebody gets healed, it's in a sense you can sense it with your five senses. So it's in a way that God can come and act upon his church, and where we have to relinquish control. So it's a place where we're in a sense saying, God, I'm not in control. It's your church, it's not mine. We allow you to come and operate in your church through the gift. So it's a place of also of just handing over control. It's a place of saying, Lord, your will be done and not mine. And therefore, often a lot of our challenges with the gift is that we don't like to be out of control. We don't like that things are not going the way that we necessarily want to. But it's one way that God can steer his church. For instance, a word of prophecy. What does God want to do next? You know, God can move us, can shift us. He can show us who to minister to, you know, what to do with our finances, you know, who to marry. Those kind of things. God can sometimes speak to us directly and to confirm things in our hearts. Okay, so it's kind of a recap. So God operates through the Spirit, through the gifts, and he wants to empower the church to do its task through the gifts. And just a few of the gifts is a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Last time we spoke about the first two, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, how they sometimes work together. Another thing just to remember is that this is not necessarily a conclusive list. I spoke to one of our pastors in Joburg. His name is Henny. I don't know if any of you have met him before, but I chat with him now and again, and he's quite a theologian. And he says the challenge with putting the gifts in a cookie cutter or in trying to place it in a specific place is limiting what God has done in the Old Testament. Because as an Old Testament, you see places where God gave people's gift of creativity or of workmanship, of craftsmanship, etc. And then you see a guy like Samson in the Old Testament doing things of supernatural strength, you know, which implied the spirit of might, which is not necessarily one of the nine giftings here, although it could be a combination of them. So you see different things happening in the Old Testament, which I believe is also inspired by the Holy Spirit, you know, creativity and song, etc., etc. So these nine gifts is kind of an introduction, and I believe it will always kind of affirm what the Bible says, whatever gift God operates in. But it's by no means, I believe it's not conclusive, but it's good to look at them and work from there. Okay, so the gifts is basically things we cannot do in our own ability. It's saying, God, you come by your Spirit, you come and do things through us. We are just a vessel, God coming to express himself through us. And then the second scripture was 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gift. So something we can desire, we cannot qualify for it, but we can desire it. It's like I was saying, it's like a child desiring a gift. You know, when my kids desire something, they express it to me. And when it's their birthday, I'm very likely to give them that gift that they desired. And the Bible says God is a good Father. He gives us the Holy Spirit. So one way of interpreting this, he's a good Father. He gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, so earthly Father gives good gifts. How much more will he give us our heart's desires when it comes to the gifts? So I believe one of the ways that we can grow in the gifts is just desiring them. We cannot qualify for them, but we can desire them. And one of the ways is obviously intimacy, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and intimacy. If you're close to the Father, I believe it's going to be easier to receive. I believe he wants to give it to us, but if we want to receive, it's a good place to be close to him. Because then we can know what he wants to give. And another scripture says God gives it as he wills. So it's not definite that he will give you a specific gift. But I believe desiring it is a good starting place. Okay, so let's look at the next three gifts this morning then. I'm just going to give us a quick summary on them. And they call them the power gifts. Although, you know, all the gifts could be seen as a sense of God's power flowing. And the free power gives us faith, the gifts of healings, and the working of miracles. So let's quickly look at those. So the gift of faith. Who of you have faith? We have faith. Okay, the Bible says the just will live by faith. So there's different definitions of faith in the Bible, and there's three kinds of faith that we can see through the Bible. The one is just the faith we live by. So if you're saved, you live by faith. That Jesus is the risen Son of God, that He died for our sins, that He is the one that makes it for us possible to have a relationship with the Father. He's the one that makes it possible for us to live every day and experience Him. And then it's the second faith. The Bible speaks of the fruit of faith, when it speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. So that is a faith that we cultivate. That means as we grow in the Lord, as we read the Word, as we experience God, as we cultivate godly habits, and as we step out into the things God calls us, we build our faith. So that's a faith that kind of is like a muscle that gets developed, that gets grown. The Bible says add to your faith, you know, so that's something you can add to. And then there's the gift of faith, and that's what we're going to speak about today. The gift of faith, in a sense, is a supernatural empowerment for a specific task or a specific thing that God wants to do that's not of yourself. In a sense, God is using you to accomplish something. So it's a supernatural impartation. One way of describing it is it's a tiny portion of God's substance that's operating to you. You know, when God spoke the earth into being, He said a few words, and the earth came to pass. And it's that same power, the dynamic power, the dynamous power of God operating through us for a specific task that God wants to accomplish here on earth. An example can be seen in Mark 11, verse 20 to 23. I'm going to give us some examples just to stir us up and give us a good blueprint. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withering away to its roots. And people remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. You know, what happened is the previous day, they went past a fig tree, didn't have any fruit on. And Jesus says, because you don't have fruit, I curse you. He cursed the tree. And the next day they came there and the tree was dead. So the disciples were marveling, how does a tree die in one day and completely wither? And that is that power of creation operating to Christ. You know, when he says something, it happens. If God says, you've got a red shirt on, and he says it's blue, it will turn blue. That's literally how God's words comes to pass. And those same words come and indwell us. And what it says here in the most modern translation, it says have faith in God. But some theologians says that in the original Greek, it says have the faith of God. So it's a bit different. It's a bit different interpretation. So that makes a lot more sense when you speak about the gift of faith, God coming to operate through us. So instead of saying have faith in God, which is focusing on ourselves, it says have the faith of God, which is focusing on Him, which says God Himself cursed that tree. And if God's power works through us, we can move mountains. If a little bit of God's, another scripture says if you have a faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You know, and that's faith of a mustard seed. It means if you have a little teeny weeny 1% or 1/1,000,000% of God's faith, it's the quality of the faith that moves the mountain. That's when God Himself comes and applies His faith to you. You with me this morning? So something, it's in a sense it's an easier task. Instead of putting the emphasis on us to move those mountains, saying, God, I'm putting the emphasis on you. I'm putting my faith in you to come and move the mountains you desire moving in my life or through my life or in the circumstances I'm faced with. So it's just a bit of an emphasis away from ourselves. And that's what the gospel is primarily, is taking the emphasis away from ourselves and putting on the finished work of Christ. Jesus says we will do greater things than He did. You know, and if we put the emphasis on ourselves, we'll never get to what Jesus has done. So if we're going to do greater things than Christ has done, it's something that God will have to do by His Spirit through us. Because I don't think any of us can arrive at Jesus' level of maturity in this life when it comes to faith. But if Jesus can use us as a vessel, then anything is possible. Because he can obviously do greater things than what he did when he was on earth. You with me this morning? So I'm excited to explore that. It's a supernatural faith imparted by the Holy Spirit. And I like what Reinhard Bonnke says. He says it's getting plugged into the right power socket, you know, when it comes to gifts, you know, of power gifts. Instead of looking at ourselves, it's getting plugged into God and saying, God, let your power operate through me. Okay, so examples in scriptures where faith, Jesus applied faith is when he cast out evil spirits. It was by faith, a word of authority, speaking to them, also the apostles as well. And when people got healed, often it was by one word. They would say, be healed, or be delivered, and that would happen. So that's the faith of God that enabled Jesus or the apostles like Peter to operate in those. All right, are you with me this morning? Okay, let's go to the next one. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. He says, Lazarus, get out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. John 11, verse 43-44. That is an example of the power gifts of faith operating. Jesus looking at the grave and he says, Lazarus, come out. Repeat with me. Let's practice that. Say, Lazarus, come out. So sometimes God will not let us do something funny. He will just say to us, speak to the mountain. And it was like a mountain. He said, Lazarus, come out. So Jesus obviously was perfectly connected with the Father. He was in a perfect unison of God. So whatever God wanted to do, Jesus could just speak it and it happened. And I believe that's the place where God is calling us to. It's a wrestling place, a wrestling match in our lives. Where we say, is it even possible? But I would love to explore that. I would love to say, God, you come and impart that authority, that faith that moves mountains. Acts 9, verse 39-40. Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made whilst he was with them. But Peter put them all aside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. So, in a sense, what we see here, Peter built up his faith. And then he also spoke a word of authority in the situation. So he didn't necessarily pray for the lady. He prayed unto God. So I imagine what happened there was a bit of a wrestling match maybe with God. Maybe imploring God, saying, God, you know, what is your purpose here? What do you want to do? And when he received God's purpose, he just executed it. So he didn't really pray for Tabitha. He just spoke to her. He said, arise. And obviously she was resurrected. Matthew 10, verse 7-8 says, and as you go preaching, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. See there, the emphasis there is on the disciples. The emphasis there is on the children of God, those who have walked with him around. He says, you go and do now what I did. I make you a legal ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. You basically are my hands and feet now. What I did, you continue doing. What I really like about this is the end of the walk with the disciples, with Christ. So it also speaks of an intimate walk with the Lord. They obviously saw Jesus laying hands on the sick. They saw Jesus casting out demons. They saw Jesus exercising miracles. And Jesus says, you go and continue that ministry. And what I find from that is if we go and explore scripture, we can also see how Jesus did it. And we can build up our faith. We can come to a place where God can show us what he did. And we can learn from him and then start to apply that. Like we do this morning, we can study how does the gift work. We can study how does authority work in terms of applying the gifts. And then we can go by faith and do it. We had Daniel Kolenda there the one evening. And he's Reinhard Bonnke's kind of successor. And he says, what do you do when you pray for somebody and they don't get healed? What do you do? He says, you pray again. So he had this whole thing of, you know, whenever we fail, it's not our business. And he says the emphasis is not on us to make the miracles come to pass. It's not on us to heal people. It's Jesus that heals. So he says if somebody gets healed and we take the credit for that, then we're stealing God's glory. So it's the same if somebody doesn't get get healed, and we take the credit for it, we're still stealing God's glory. So it's not our business. We're God's vessels. So we shouldn't think it's our identity if people get healed or not. Our duty is just to be faithful to the gifts and praying. What's really amazing about the gifts and the healings, etc., is 1/3 of Jesus' ministry was this casting out demons and healing the sick. So it's really an important part, I believe, of the end time return of the Lord and the outpouring of the Spirit and nations coming to know God. You know, they were, the one person was saying, God's heart is to save whole nations, not just one or two persons, save whole cities, etc. And I believe that will be as a result of the gifts operating in its fullness. Okay, the second one is gifts of healings. Obviously, I said last time as well, it says gifts of healing. So in a sense, what we can see from that is healing is not just one gift. You can get maybe different applications of healing. So maybe God can give you a gift of healing cancer, can give you a gift of healing people that are deaf. You know, so there could be different varieties of gifts of healings that God can impart to you for specific purposes, or maybe just, you know, obviously if you pray for people that are lame and they get healed all the time, then that's a gift that you have. Or you pray for deaf people and they get healed all the time, then you know you have that gift, and every person in a sense that you pray for will get healed again. You see people that operate in gifts. In a specific guy, Derek Prince, he operated in the gift of praying for people that have short legs, or one leg is shorter than the other. And without fail, when somebody came to him that had one leg shorter than the other, the leg grew out. So that's a gift he had, to pray for the lengthening of legs. And in a sense, what a gift of healing is just replacing sickness with health. And like we see in Scripture, Luke, for instance, 4:14, when people came to Jesus, or they came to Peter and the apostles, then Scripture always says all that came were healed. So what we can get from that is, when we operate in the gift, is God's heart for people is always to get healed. Do you agree with that? God's heart is always for people to get healed. Maybe we're not walking in that yet, but when we look at a situation, we should never ask God, is it your will to heal somebody? Because we see it through Peter's life, we see it through Paul's life. Paul, William was on the island of Malta. He healed one guy and all the villagers came, and all of them were healed. You know, so what we can see through that is God is not a judge of man when it comes to healing. He wants to heal all of them. And the same today, when we look at the situation, obviously I think it's dangerous to go and try and find out why somebody is sick. There could be a lot of different reasons why somebody is sick. And sometimes healing goes together with deliverance. Somebody needs deliverance before they get healed. You know, so it could be a spirit of infirmity keeping things back. So there could be different routes to the healing. To see somebody healed, and maybe different gifts applied to see somebody healed. And maybe the healing can be over extended time, etc. But it's never God's intention that somebody don't get healed. All right, so that's something to strive for, something to trust God for. Okay, and like I said, the gifts of the discernment of spirits is also often part of that. And then let's read Acts 5:13-16. None of the rest there joined them, but the people held them in high esteem. More than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the street and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. What's amazing is what we see here is there was an atmosphere of healing that followed the apostle. Wherever he walked, even his shadow healed people. And the one evangelist was sharing that he has been in situations where God's presence just fills a stadium or a room, and everybody just gets spontaneously healed. So just because God's healing presence is there. You know, so that's another thing we can desire, is that God will actually bring his healing presence in a corporate way. And just come and heal as he desires. Create that atmosphere for that. Acts 28:8-9. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the island who had diseases also came. That is, that scripture I shared with you earlier. So, you know, Peter was just shipwrecked off the sea. His ship sank. So God kind of used the situation. It was dire for him, where his journey was totally messed up. And then he actually had a heart to get the whole island saved. And it was really through the gift of healing that people came and got saved. So that's something that is desirous if we want to see the city saved. And then lastly, the working of miracles. What you'll see, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, working of miracles, it's almost all kind of similar. It's kind of the different sides of the rainbow, as you can say. They're all kind of often the gifts kind of working together in some ways often. So we'll see now working of miracles. One way theologians describe that is a miracle, for instance, when somebody has a bodily miracle in terms of healing, is when it's healing is something just changed, like you have a virus getting healed from where it's a miracle. It's something that you can actually see that's instantaneous. You know, somebody that didn't have an ear suddenly have an ear. Somebody that didn't have an eardrum having an eardrum. Somebody that didn't have a foot growing back. That kind of thing. That's a miracle. And then obviously a miracle is where Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes. That is a visible miracle that happened for a specific reason or a purpose. So miracles are kind of things that people can see with their physical eyes or experience with their senses physically. Where healing sometimes is under the skin. You know, if you have cancer, you cannot see it immediately, but it's still a healing. Okay. A good example is, as I was thinking, is Luke 22, verse 49 to 51. When those who were around him saw that would follow, that's when they came to take, and the God of Gethsemane to come to take Jesus captive. The disciples said, "Lord, shall we strike them with a sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. So Jesus just instantaneously put the ear back on. So that's a miracle that really happens. It's a visible miracle. I wonder how it felt for those soldiers to keep on taking Jesus to the high priest after they saw that miracle. They must have been quite fear-driven to keep on doing what they were doing, seeing somebody's ear being put back on. So broken bones, kidneys, you know, somebody that doesn't have a lung, you know, whatever. Somebody's eye that's out, that's getting reformed. I've heard a testimony of somebody that had a glass eye and got restoring that eye, middle ear, where people didn't have a middle ear. And then suddenly they can hear again. So that's a miracle. There's no way you can be healed of no ear or no eye. That needs, and you know how complex the eye is. They say there's a million nerve endings that join each other in the middle. So how do you heal something like that if it's not even there? Those nerve endings are gone. The eye itself is gone. Those muscles, that complexity is just too, no surgeon can fix that. And then obviously the loaves and the fishes. Matthew 15 verse 34 to 38. There was a situation where the people came to hear Jesus. That became late at night. Jesus asked his disciples, "Can we feed these people?" And his disciples just said, "What will we do?" And then Jesus just said, "Give me what you have." And he started dividing it. And we all know the story. They were all fed. Thousands of them were fed. And there was even left over. So that's a miracle. Nobody can deny it. Something that can specifically seen. And as we can see in Jesus' gospel, even when John, the apostle John, when he was in prison after he was taken, you know, he sent Jesus on his calling. He affirmed his calling, and then his life went very, very much backwards. He was thrown in prison. He was suffering there, and he was like doubting his calling. And then he sent his disciples to Jesus and says to him, "Are you the one, the Father?" And he says, "This is how you will know. It's by what you hear. What is the report you hear? The sick are healed. The devils are cast out, etc." So that is the way that Jesus attested to that he is the sovereign one. And so really just Isaiah 53, Christ came to set the captives free, heal the brokenhearted, garment of joy for heaviness, etc., etc. Band, if you guys can come forward. So this morning, I just wanted to share that something that we can really desire the Lord. And that's really, for us, the gift is something that we so easily kind of walk away from, so easily kind of just neglect. But what for me is really important about a gift is it's really tools for the job, like Ryan at Bonker says. So for us to be effective as Christians and to reach the lost world out there and to see the body of Christ and our families and people around us build up, it's really important that we trust the Holy Spirit to come and do great things through us. I remember it's about 7 years ago. I was at my house one day. I don't know why I was at home. I think it was a Saturday morning. I was at home, and Janet wasn't there. I was there by myself. It was before we had kids, and somebody knocked on the door, and opened the door, and this man stood in front of the door, but he was so thin, you could see there was something wrong with him. He had no, his nutrition must have been quite bad. His body was, so you could see, you could literally see the guy dying, his eyes being in his sockets and stuff. And I just felt, you know, he was asking for some bread, so I invited him in. And he started telling me his whole story about his journey with the Lord. He knew the Lord and his whole thing. And I just realized this man is really authentic, and he's got a good heart. And he was telling how the Lord has used him in ministry and stuff. And then he got the blood cancer in his stomach. And at that time he was losing a lot of blood. And he was going to die very soon. And I just said, man, I don't know you. And I just know God can heal. So I'm going to pray for you. So this is where he was in my house. I just laid my hands on him, prayed for him, and just chatted, gave him some food, and he went. And probably about 6 months later, I wasn't at home. He came to my house, he knocked on the door, and Janet opened the door. And I cannot confirm if it was true, but he was healthy again, and he said he was healed. He was healed of blood cancer. So for me, it's difficult for me to verify that miracle, but the fact that he was looking normal again means God did something that day. And I didn't do anything. I just laid my hands on him, prayed for him. And I believe God still does those kind of things. You know, there's probably testimonies in this room of God doing similar things. And there's really a city and a province and a country out there where people are sick. And I believe this healing ministry is what South Africa needs. God wants to raise up healing evangelists, healing ministers, healing churches where people can come and be healed. And I believe when we came to Durban, that's one of the words God gave me. He just gave me a word that God wants to come and heal the city. And I don't know about you, but if you look at our city, there's a lot of brokenness. And in a sense, the city is kind of, sometimes you see it as in a state of needing repair. And the Bible says we will be the builders of ancient ruins. So I believe the city needs to be healed in the natural as well. And that's going to require a gift of faith, a gift of healing, a gift of just trusting in God one person at a time, one situation at a time, to see healing in people's lives. So if you are here this morning, that's the encouragement God has for us, is that He wants to heal you, He wants to restore, and He wants to use you as an instrument. And one of the guys was saying at a conference, often the thing that you've struggled with most in your life is very much possibly your calling. It's very, very possibly your ministry. So instead of getting stuck in where you're at, just saying, God, I'm going to trust you, that you're going to restore me, and then you're going to use me in that area. You're going to use me as you restored me. So I want to encourage you with that as well. It's something that we mustn't neglect or let go of. Let's all stand this morning. So what I want us to do this morning is, just where you are at, if I want us to step out in a sense in faith. And the cool thing that Daniel Kalenda said I think it was Wednesday night. Yeah, it was Wednesday night. He said it's not about us. It's about Jesus wanting to heal. It's him wanting to restore. It's him wanting to come and do a great work. So when we try and make it of us, we strive. We try and do things in a way that puts the emphasis back on us, on like I said, the fruit of faith. And God actually wants to impart into us a supernatural faith for healing, supernatural faith for miracles, a supernatural faith that will see things change. So what I want us to do this morning, if you're here and you've got some infirmity in your body, I want us to just step out in faith, trusting in God and not in ourselves. So if you have an issue in your body, just put up your hand where you're at. Just put up your hands. And what I want us to do, if you are close to such a person, I just want you to maybe put your hands on them, just around them. If you're here and you don't have your hand up, maybe just look around you and see if there's somebody that needs to be prayed for. Okay, just keep your hands up. A lot of people just walk. So what we're going to do now is we're going to just declare that healing over the person. Instead of saying, Father, I pray that you would heal this person, find out what the condition is, and then you declare to that infirmity to go, or that sickness, or if there's something that's missing, command it to grow. In Jesus' name. Remember what I said about the gift of faith. It's God Himself by His supernatural faith. It's not your faith. You just become a vessel. And we're just obedient that He will do that. You know, it can be emotional healing that is required, whatever it is. Just, you can have more than one person praying for another. So let's just do that. And this is some oil here. If you guys just want to take some oil, just anoint the person with some oil. And we just anoint them, and then we declare by faith their healing. So just where you are at, don't pray long prayers. And the emphasis here is that trust God to heal through you. So just speak to the thing. Speak by the authority that Christ has vested on you. Trust the Holy Spirit to give you those words. And then just say infirmity, be gone. Sickness, be gone. Pain, be gone. Heart disease, be gone. Fear. Emotional fear, be gone, in Jesus' name. We say arthritis, be gone. We say muscular problems, be gone, in Jesus' name. Stomach aches, be gone, in Jesus' name. Stomach tumors, we command you to be gone, in Jesus' name. Eyes to be opened, in Jesus' name. Eyes to be healed in Jesus' name. Ears to be healed in Jesus' name. Ears to be restored in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Yes, in Jesus' name, we command deliverance from deception in Jesus' name. This morning. This morning. Freedom in Jesus' name. Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace that's sufficient, Lord, for every need, Lord. Thank you for overflow of your power in this room, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for anointing to heal, Lord. Thank you for hands, healing hands. Thank you that you've granted us healing hands, Lord, to extend, Father, to your people, Lord, to extend to the city, Lord. Thank you that you prophesy healing over the city, even, Lord, by faith, Lord. By faith, let healing fill this room, Lord. Let the anointing of healing fill this room, Lord. Right now, Lord, fill us up, Lord, we pray. Fill us up, Father, like in the first Pentecost, Father God, you fill the room of your presence, Lord. Come and fill us in you, Father. Fill this place in you. Fill hearts, Lord, fill minds. Fill us, Father, with substance from on high, Lord. We know it's only you. It's your portion of faith unto us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that your faith is perfect, Lord. Thank you that your words are still the same, Lord. Thank you that you commissioned your disciples to heal every sick person. We declare that healing. We command also every person that's oppressed to be made free. Christ came to set the captives free. We declare Christ's ministry upon us this morning. Captives being set free right now, Lord. Right now, in Jesus' name. Freedom, Lord, for freedom. Christ has set us free. Thank you, Father. We come and take the inheritance. The saints, Lord. Life in abundance, freedom, Lord. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. We look upon you, Jesus. We look upon you. Thank you that you are here healing, Lord. Thank you that you're still walking amongst us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you go right now amongst us. You heal, Father, you restore. You put your hands on people's bodies, Lord, on their emotions, Lord. Thank you that your perfect love come and cast out all fear right now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anybody experienced something while we prayed for you? Put up your hand if you felt God doing something, maybe. It's a testimony. Does anybody want to testify? Or just put up your hand, maybe. God did something while we prayed now. God did something in your body. Did you experience something of God? If it's you, just put up your hand. We won't call you forward. This is a testimony to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, it's you that heal, Father. We put back the emphasis on you. That's your ministry that continues here on earth. It's not our ministry, Lord. Father, we are just ambassadors of what you've done. And Father, we invite you, like we said this morning, Lord, like your word declares to us, the New Testament models us, that picture of life, Lord, that you came to give. You came to restore. You came to make whole. You came to set the captives free. You came to bring liberty. Father, we declare that today, Lord, that that is our inheritance, Lord. That it's ours in Christ Jesus, Lord. We are your disciples, Father. And you said we should make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and praying for them, seeing them set free, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you that we can go into this week with faith and with an expression of power, Lord. Thank you that you will remind us. As we go into this week, you will give us divine opportunities. You will open up doors, Lord, for your spirit, Lord. I just reminded your words that you put before us a door that no man can close. And I believe that door is the door of the Holy Spirit, Lord. The door that no man can deny, Lord. And we acknowledge you afresh this morning, Holy Spirit. We acknowledge you are with us. You're with us. You're with us. Christ with us. You are our shelter. You are our paracletos. You are our help, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you that it's not us, it's you. You do it, Lord. And thank you for faithfulness today, Lord. That you are faithful, Lord. And that we can also be faithful as we go. In Jesus' name. And then this morning, just as we close, maybe you're here this morning and you have never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here of the gifts. Maybe you have had a touch of the Lord. Or maybe you've experienced Him. He's also here, as He is here to heal, as He's here to operate in the gifts. The greatest miracle of it all is really when we get born again. The Bible says we cannot enter the kingdom. We cannot enter these things which we talk about today unless we are born again from on high by the Spirit. That same Spirit that grants us the gift, that same Spirit wants to come and indwell us and give us resurrection lives. So if that's you this morning, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to just put up your hand and we'll pray a prayer with you. If you're here, you want to make that first commitment, you want to come to Jesus and you want to say, I want you to be my Lord, I want you to be my healer, I want you to be my deliverer. Even if you want to come back today, you feel you're far away from the Lord, you maybe walked away, maybe feel backslidden from Him, if that's you this morning, I want you to just give you that opportunity, just put up your hand and say, Lord, here I am, send me. Here I am, I'm yours, Lord. Alright. I assume we've all made the decision. If you're afraid to put it up while we're here, you can always come and speak to me afterwards. I'll gladly pray with you. Okay, so we're going to close there. Thank you, Father, for this morning. Thank you, Lord, that I can just commission us as a church. You're commissioning us into this week and into this world, Lord. And yeah, we pray, Lord, that you will teach us how to operate in the gifts. You will give us the gifts and give us the courage and boldness to walk in them. walk by faith and not by sight. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.